and welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 475. My name is James Gilmore, and joining me today, it's only Rick Cowley.
Hey, the man himself.
I like that that's become your standard intro now, a Fonzie-esque, hey.
I walk in, I hit a jukebox, and I say, hey, and then I jump some sharks. That's all I know about Fonzie.
That's all you need to know. Though the jukebox in question is probably like one of those Game Boys that you can use to make chiptunes on.
The jukebox is my terrible laptop, and if I keep punching it, it will keep breaking.
Well, I mean, there's one piece of advice I could offer for you there. So, we're recording this slightly earlier than we usually do. Usually it's a Friday cast, but you're going to be... Where are you going to be, actually?
I'm going to be in London. I can't say why. I'm meeting with some developers to have a chat about future Switch games.
Well. Okay, good. Well, that's also ties in nicely to this week, because there's been a hell of a lot of movement on the old Switch needle. We had a Nintendo Direct later last night, 10 in the evening hour time, wasn't it? Because you were covering it.
I am absolutely knackered still.
Splendid.
It's amazing what they can fit into 35 minutes.
Yes, they're nothing if not efficient. They announced pretty much everything last night, so we'll obviously be covering that ground. We'll also be talking about the new games that are going to be coming to mobile from Activision Blizzard, thanks to their little announcement, plus some somewhat sad news regarding their staffing situation. Also, we've got a bunch of new releases that are coming out this week, including Lin, Path of Orchards, Noah Noah, Knights of the Card Table, and a review of... What's it called? Tetris Blast?
Tetris 99.
There you go. Tetris 99 on the Switch. But first, news. We'll start with mobile. Activision Blizzard had one of them business calls that they do, these big companies, where they chat about the insane amounts of money that they have made, and also occasionally release snippets of information about new games and plans for the future. Had a bit of everything this time. One of the news bits that came out of it was that Activision Blizzard are effectively making a mobile tie-in to every game that they have.
Yeah, they kind of said that they are looking to get mobile experiences of all their IPs to everybody. I guess spread every single franchise to every possible way they can.
Yeah.
That's kind of the idea.
So the quote is, as we look forward to the coming years, we plan for all of our major franchises to be operating at scale and capitalizing. Basically, like, this is why we give you the news like this, because reading it is incredibly tedious and full of annoying business chat. But one of the things that they do say is they're going to be doing ongoing live operations, regular content launches, blah, blah, blah. Strong mobile experiences available for all of the communities to enjoy. And regarding mobile games, we've got multiple projects underway across the portfolio in various stages of development. So they're kind of hinting or outright saying that, yeah, we're going to be doing mobile versions of everything. Now, we're aware of a bunch of this already. So firstly, there's a Call of Duty mobile game coming out. This is the one that King are doing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's one King are doing that they've been working on for a while. I think Tencent are doing one as well, but I don't know if that's in partnership with King. Maybe there's two Call of Duty games coming to mobile. I'm not entirely sure anymore.
We've had a bunch before, and they've generally been like first-person shooters. The King one just makes me think I'm going to be matching chains of three brightly coloured guns.
That would be fantastic.
Isn't it? That's all I can imagine. If they come out with like a first-person shooter, I'm going to be very surprised, given the history of the studio. But, you know, maybe they're going in a new direction. Who knows? And the other thing was Diablo Immortal, which was that one that people thought might be a Diablo sequel, and then it was a mobile game and people got cross, so we know that's definitely happening. And as you say in your article, we're just like working our way through of what Activision Blizzard now own. They no longer have Destiny. They've given Destiny back to Bungie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's off the table. Hearthstone is technically a World of Warcraft tie-in.
Yep.
So that's that covered. And that leaves... not that much, actually, because they have a few incredibly massive IPs and not a lot of little ones. So Overwatch, we're still waiting on that Overwatch mobile game. And after Fortnite and everything else, you know, PUBG has proved that you can do the multiplayer online shooters on mobile and make them cross-platform. Maybe? I mean...
That would be something else.
I know. And I would have previously, I would have gone like, nah, they're never going to do that. But again, I imagine with what's happened with Fortnite and everything, that's got to be what everybody's looking towards now.
Yeah.
Just fully cross-platform multiplayer games that you can play for ages. I mean, that Apex, what's it called? Apex Legends?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just come out, which I actually do want to have a go on because I loved Titanfall 2.
It's really good.
So, have you played it? Have you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've had a few rounds and it is very enjoyable.
Oh, the Apex
it feels like Titanfall 2. It's got that sort of amazing movement that Respawn are known for.
Yeah, the single player campaign on Titanfall 2, and this is old news now, but it completely flopped at launch and it's absolutely superb. It's a very short campaign and basically the best first person shooter campaign I've played for years, years and years. It's so good. And so I'm really up for doing this. And I don't really play these multiplayer battle royale style shooters online. It's not necessarily my jam, but I'm willing to give these ones a go. So I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to make something that tied in to a multiplayer aspect that people could plug into on their phones and then they could just sit there scooping up all of the money. The other one you mentioned, which is true, it's StarCraft, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, we don't really think about StarCraft anymore.
No.
Because they did StarCraft 2, that was a thing, and then we've all just kind of moved on with our lives.
All 12 parts of StarCraft 2 and 15 versions and whatever they had, but... But yeah, like, I remember my friend getting very excited about it because that's very much his jam.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a long time ago, that sequel now, and we haven't heard anything. So maybe tactical stuff works very well on mobile. I could see an iPad version of something approaching StarCraft. Get the Kingdom Rush lot to get involved. You know, they would do an amazing job of it.
Ooh, oh, that'd be good.
How good would that be, right?
Yeah.
So if you're a mobile fan, that's interesting news. The extremely unpleasant side of that call was... Not only the announcement of 800 people being sacked from the company across its business, which is about like 12, 13% of the company or something.
It's 8%.
I'm exaggerating. Yeah, 8% then. Which is like gross, and we've seen it a bunch. We've seen Telltale laying a bunch of people off. This happens from time to time in studios, and, you know, it's often prompted by losses and studio closures, and so they've had to just make everybody redundant, or they've opted to do that because it's the best way out for the CEOs and the folks up top. However, they announced the loss of 800 people, sacking, I should say, of 800 people, alongside, quote, record profits. They made more money than ever last year, $7.5 billion in revenue.
Yep.
And then they sacked 800 people.
Yep.
And that's the thing that everyone has quite rightly gone, ah, capitalism sucks. God damn, they didn't lose money and are therefore laying people off. They made more money than they've ever made in the entire history of the company. And then folks up the top of the chain, venture capitalists and whatnot, said that that's not enough. We need more, so sack everybody so we can make even more. Like, and that's where it just becomes unbelievably cynical. And it's just a kind of callous disregard for all those people who helped you make that $7.5 billion in revenue. It's horrible.
Yeah, there's not really much else you can say about it.
No, we've chatted about these in the past.
Yeah, hopefully everybody finds a job.
Yes.
Hopefully.
And as always, the community out there, the rest of the games community has been fantastic in going, hey, we're hiring everybody, we're hiring, you know, get on board, send your stuff, we're looking for cool people. But it's just like, it's really icky. Don't like it. Elsewhere, though, we go on to Nintendo here because we're going to talk about the Switch Direct, but also, aren't they the company where, like, the boss at one point took, like, a 50% pay cut?
Yes.
Because he felt that he had under-delivered that year, and it's like, that would never happen in the West. That would never happen with a company over here because, like, not only did we have this, I think the person, one of the new CEOs they were bringing on for... Activision, they gave him an extra 15 million, like just to get, oh God, come in, we'll give you an extra 50 million.
Yeah.
Which could have paid the salary to those 800 people 100 times. I'm making myself cross. Let's move over to
something nice and happy.
Yes, which is Nintendo and their lovely Nintendo Direct. And I woke up this morning with the privilege of having had some sleep, unlike you, Rick. and looked on the site and went, oh, there's about 20 stories telling me about all the lovely new games. And I've only been able to skim some of them because I've been trying to do other work. So, what have you got for us on the older Switch announcement? God. What was the sweet stuff?
What haven't we got,
I know, to be honest? I've got the page open.
It kicked off with Super Mario Maker 2,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because a lot of people were clamoring for at least a re-release of the Wii U version because no one really played it.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that they have seen that from the community and gone, actually, we could probably do better. So that'll have new tools, new stuff. They were kind of very vague about what it's got. The main thing they said is, oh, it's got slopes. Like, oh, okay, cool. Slopes are cool. That sounds great. And the artwork appears to have Mario and Luigi on it, so I'm thinking there might be some sort of multiplayer aspect to it, because I don't think there was like a proper multiplayer in the first version.
I never saw one. I know that I saw people playing it, obviously, because they didn't have a Wii U, but it was always Mario, and he looked lonely.
But yeah, so it could be quite cool. That is coming out June this year, I think it was, either June or July.
That's what it's saying in your headline.
Oh, good. It's coming out in June.
Nice.
Other big announcement was the Link's Awakening remake, which looks weirdly cool.
Now, doesn't it though? So I saw this like appear in the old Twitter feed and was like, cool. And I had like out of my corner of my eye, because I was, you know, pretending to do work at the time. Saw it and was like, oh yeah, it looks like they've taken, you know, the original. This is the original Link, isn't it?
Yes.
OG, proper, original NES Link. And they've gone, right, we'll turn it into something that looks like A Link to the Past, which itself then got turned into the more modern-looking top-down 3D one. So I'm thinking like A Link Between Worlds is the closest comparison. So it's all 3D version of that. And then I looked at it about an hour or two later when I was rendering the video, and it looks like quite different. They've done a real visual overhaul on it, because suddenly it's all HD and all of that business. But it looks, A, really, really shiny. Like, all the surfaces look incredibly bright and shiny. But the other thing is they've got, like, a tilt shift going on. So they've got the kind of blur at the top and bottom of the screen, and it focuses on the center. It looks bloody lovely.
It does. Everything looks like little toys that are just running around on a playing field or something. It's like, wow, this looks really nice. And just a really smart way of bringing, like, it's 20-odd years old, that game. Yeah. So launched on the Game Boy. And, like, they're bringing it over and just doing something completely new with the art style and trying to, you know, revitalize what was good about the game whilst also introducing something interesting about it. It's kind of what they did with Pokemon Let's Go.
Mm.
I mean, that was a sequel, technically, to Pokemon Blue. But that was, like, whole new graphic style, really bright and colorful, really lovely, and its own unique sort of flavor. But it's still the game that you know and love.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
They've polished this formula to like within an inch of its life now. They've done these. Yeah. It's 3D, but it's still holding that fixed camera position. So like 2.5D, it's whatever you want to call it. Mm. They've done it several times now with the Zelda games. And, you know, they know exactly what they're doing. They know how to make it feel good. I played The Link Between Worlds when I was away on the honeymoon last. No, it was this year. It was this year, wasn't it? Jesus. No, it was last year.
It was last year, yep.
God.
Time.
Yeah. But I was playing that, and that's a fantastic game, and it just feels natural and simple, but it has that little 3D gloss. And this, like, my God, the gloss pinging off the screen it is. It looks fantastic. But are we assuming, I've seen the video, and I haven't played the original Zelda through. Like, I've had a go on it on an emulator.
Well, this isn't the original. This is the weird Capcom-developed Game Boy version.
Right. See, that's what I was checking.
That's why you've got like Chain Chomps and Goombas and stuff in there, because it was this sort of weird mishmash of Zelda and then other Nintendo properties.
Okay, so it's
not... It wasn't officially a Nintendo game. It was developed by Capcom. I don't know if Capcom's doing the remaster for this one as well.
That's what I was checking, because that's, you know, I didn't know whether they were going to be going in. And this applies for the other version as well. I'm curious to see whether this will be a faithful remake in terms of they've just taken the maps, the original dungeons, and they've just popped them into 3D and put new graphics on them, or whether this will be a Resident Evil 2 style remake where they go in and redesign all the levels for modern audiences who are used to modern gaming sensibilities.
Well, unfortunately, we don't know, and we won't know for a while, because they've just announced that it's coming out this year, but no month, no release window or anything like that, just 2019.
Okay, all right then.
But it still looks cool as hell. So
it really does. I'd be more excited if I had a Switch, but I am excited for it to appear and people to get stuck in. So those are the, obviously, two big ones there. But we had loads of other stuff as well. So what else we got?
Astral Chain is a new Platinum Games one. They did Bayonetta and stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the designers on Nier Automata is the director of the game, and Hideo Kamiya, whatever the hell his name is. Hideki mm-hmm. Kamiya, the guy who does Bayonetta.
The guy who blocks everyone.
Yeah, yeah, that one. He is supervising on the direction of it. It's this weird sort of anime future thing where you are police officers who fight bad guys and demons with living weapons that are attached to you by a chain. It looks daft as hell, and it looks so cool.
it does.
Absolutely watch a video. It's so crazily...
They've got like a 4-second kind of clip GIF thing running on the Nintendo Twitter account. And yeah, it's just him riding a giant cyber panther with a massive tail around and avoiding an enormous purple laser beam being fired out the mouth of some kind of gigantic ogre dragon that's latched onto the side of a building. It's bananas.
It's platinum. It's platinum games.
Totally.
You kind of know what to expect. Ridiculous over-the-top battles and just silly as hell.
Yeah. Out on in August, end of August, that one.
Yes.
30th, apparently.
And that is a Switch exclusive, which is interesting. What else was there other than the obvious? Final Fantasy IX.
Oh, yeah.
Was released during the Direct.
That's right. That's out right now.
It's out right now for £16.99 or $20.99. $20.99.
This is the mobile version. And
yes, it's the same port as the PC and mobile version.
Yeah, which... It has been criticized in some places because there's this music bug that people have mentioned, which means that you lose some of the soundtrack and it's still there. And so people are a little bit cross about that. But it's still one of the best regarded Final Fantasy games ever. And, you know, you can now play it on your Switch and that is nice.
Indeed.
Fire Emblem, Three Houses.
Oh,
what was that
God,
all about?
Yeah, Fire Emblem. It looks really weird.
So what is it?
So you're a university professor, as right. far as I can tell. And you're at this special officers' university where the like officers of the three kingdoms around the map all come to train their youth.
Okay.
So you train them up in the thing and then you can watch them like build relationships and stuff like that. So pretty standard Fire Emblem stuff. And then you go off into battle with them and it's got permadeath and it's tactical battles. It basically looks like a Fire Emblem game, but it's got this weird sort of thing where you are this university professor who's teaching all these different kids and you have to choose which kingdom you're going to side with and which characters you're going to train up and this kind of thing. And deep story around all that, and I'm sure there'll be some battles between the kingdoms and it'll all change how things pan out based on who you side with and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, okay. I'm not really sure what's going on with it. It just looks super bizarre. Also, your character can see a small anime girl that no one else can see. So that's, you know.
Well, that's the first bit that's rung true for me.
You can relate to that.
Oh, yeah. That one's July 26th.
Yes, it was supposed to come out in spring, but it's been pushed back so they can make sure it's perfect.
Ah, I see. Okay. And that's called, yeah, Three Houses is the suffix to that one. Now, there's also chat about Smash, isn't there? Oh, yeah. So we've got new characters adding to the Smash Bros. Roster. We've got Joker.
Joker from Persona 5 is joining by the end of April.
Okie dokie.
There's no other timescale on that. There's also going to be a version 3.0 update in spring, but we have no idea what that actually entails.
Okay.
And there's going to be some amiibo. I didn't put that in my article, but new amiibo for the returning fighters like Snake and others, Richter and the other one. I can't remember his stupid name.
More plastic tat.
Hell yeah.
Good stuff. And there was something about Captain Toad Treasure Tracker.
Oh, of course, yeah. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker got a free update at the end of the Switch Direct, which gives you full co-op in every single level. Which is really, really cool, because initially you could only play as Captain Toad, and then the second player was just kind of this floating pointer that could fire turnips at the screen to attack enemies and destroy blocks. Now you can both play as different Toads, and both run around the level together and do all the levels, and it's implemented in every single level, and it's totally free. Which is very exciting, because I just bought Captain Toad on Switch, and now I can play it with my girlfriend, and I'm really excited to play through it again, because I 100%ed it on Wii U, and I just love it so much.
Oh, it was Wii U. See, like, I'm looking at it while you're talking, going, I've never even heard of this game. that means nothing to me.
Yeah, it's like a puzzle platformer thing based on like old Japanese puzzle boxes was the idea. And you can rotate the world around and there's little hidden areas that you need to dip through. And you can't jump or anything like that, so you just got to work out how to manipulate the areas as you go around them and move platforms by You used to touch the Wii U screen, but now I guess you just pointed it and press buttons and stuff like that. But yeah, okay. It's one of the smartest puzzlers on the Wii U, it was, and probably on the Switch as well. I haven't played it, but it's the same game, so I'm sure it's going to be lovely. And as well as having full co-op now added, it's going to have new levels added in from March 14th. You can pre-order that DLC now. I don't know how much it is, because I didn't check.
Mm.
But that will also be fully co-op enabled, that contains, I think, another 14 or 15 levels to play through. And if you pre-order it now, you get to play the first level straight away and then unlock the rest of them on March 14th when it actually comes out.
Very good.
So I'm very excited about that.
That looks very much my jam. Like,
oh, it's so good.
The puzzle element of it, that's what gets me excited. Like, I really liked Super Mario Galaxy. I came to it late when I got the Wii. And I thought that was fantastic because it does have this sort of physics puzzly element to it.
Yep.
Dealing with the rotating worlds and moving inside some of the structures and whatnot. And yeah, that looks great.
It's just clever and interesting and funny and just really, 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 really good.
Nice.
I love it so much. And there was a bunch of other games as well. Box Boy plus Box Girl has been announced. So it's a sequel to the Box Boy games that were quite popular on 3DS, I think.
Okay.
Got Dead by Daylight is coming to Switch. Senua. Oh, what the hell is it called? Hellblade. Senua's Sacrifice. That's also coming to Switch.
Okay.
At some point. Final Fantasy VII, the port for that has been revealed for March.
Oh, yeah.
Chocobo's Dungeon Everybody, or whatever the hell it's called, is also coming out, I believe, in March. Daemon X Machina, which is a weird mech game that's coming to Switch. There's been a demo released of that. Yoshi's Crafted World has a demo now as well.
Oh, nice.
Which is coming also in March. That is about it from what I can remember.
Well, we've got a full page of Switch highlights over there on Pocket Gamer. So if you missed any of that or want to double check it, we've got all the links to all the stuff and all the videos that were revealed, including the actual Switch Direct video itself. So go over there and have a wee peek if you want to stay abreast of the situation. Out and about this week, we're going to start with some of the mobile stuff. Lin Path of Orchards, which is a really silly name. It doesn't mean anything, I don't think. It probably means something to the developer, but I don't think it's doing the game any favours at all. Because the game itself is quite good. It doesn't also do itself any favours when you look at the images. Because the thing you first think, or certainly the thing I first thought was, oh, Monument Valley. Because it's using that same kind of turquoisey, pinky color scheme and a tiny little character moving between platforms and these structures in the background. And it's like, we aim. But it's really not that at all. So whereas Monument Valley was this 3D game about twisting the environment to suit you and create paths where there weren't one, this is a 2D platformer, which is all about the world itself constantly moving around you. And you have to jump and leap and zoom around in order to A, collect a few little star things, and then B, get to the exit before you fall off the edge of the screen. So it's a very, very different kind of game with a very different feel. It doesn't have the quiet, contemplative stuff, the puzzly nature that you get from Monument Valley. This is quite frantic. You might start on a platform, you mentioned this in the review, where, you know, flat line in the middle of the screen and, you know, against the background. And there is a gateway, there is an end of game gate which you have to reach, but it's underneath you, it's on the bottom of the platform, and the moment you start moving forward, the entire platform just starts spinning on an axis, so you have to like leap off the platform, stay in the air long enough for it to spin just enough round upside down so you can then turn around and zip back onto it, and then you can get to the exit. So that's a very crude example of this is how the game works. Mm-hmm. Then expand that idea and you suddenly got loads of different platforms all arranged in lots of different geometric shapes. And it's spinning one way, it's rotating like counterclockwise, and then it stops and starts spinning the other way. And then you got some examples where there are several different platforms with their own individual axes. So everything's rotating in a different direction from the other thing. And you've got to jump and leap and find your way to collect all of those stars. In some cases, use things like teleportation devices to leap between areas of the level, and then eventually get to that exit. The first time you play through a level, you're almost certainly not going to do it very well because you don't really get a chance to stop and go, right, what am I going to do here? Mm-hmm. It's like the moment you press go and the level starts, everything starts spinning. So a lot of it's going, and jump. Oh, no, it's turning. Oh, I've got to jump. There's a lot of like instinctive reaction, which is quite fun. But then the idea is you will want to go back in and try and collect the stars and work out the correct strategy. Because the levels are very quick. Usually, you know, they can be completed within a few seconds. So it's got that replayability factor where you want to go back in and nail the perfect run. I really liked it. I think that the issue that I had, maybe more than Harry did, was the controls. Because you have to do all of this twitchy leaping and jumping, the controls need to be absolutely rock solid. And they're solid, but a part of me would have liked maybe a dedicated jump button rather than a swipe, because it's entirely gesture-based.
Right.
So you swipe left or swipe right to change the direction of your character, who's always running, and then you swipe up to jump. And it reminds me of Limbo, the mobile version of that, where I get what they're doing, which is we want a completely clean UI. We want, like, no buttons on the screen. And so we're going to do a swipe up for a jump. I think a button would have worked better for me personally, because sometimes you can miss swipe.
Yeah, it sounds like it's ripe for the confused swipes.
Yeah. And it's one of those ones where you didn't even need a button. Maybe just have the entire right-hand side of the screen, tap on that, and that will be your jump. Then you can swipe left and right on the left-hand side of the screen. Boom. Personally, that's what I would have gone with. But it doesn't like impede your enjoyment of the game. It just takes a little bit of getting used to, and you have to be very careful and precise with it. But I think it's really nice the way that it expands and... what am I thinking of? Iterates on its own ideas, the different types of platforms it adds and the different things they do with the spinning. It constantly, like, you go, oh, with a new level, there's always a surprise element of, Christ, what am I going to have to deal with now? And it does it very nicely. It's a premium game. It's £2.99, $2.99. No in-app purchases or anything like that. And with a couple of little caveats, we broadly recommend it to your puzzle platformy fans. It's a good time. So Lin Path of the Orchards is the name, the weird name of that one. You've been giving it the Switch beans. What have you been playing this week?
So, also launched last night and then rapidly downloaded by me is Tetris 99.
I've been hearing all about this today from people.
It sounds like a joke. So it's basically Tetris Battle Royale. It is literally you versus 98 other people playing Tetris at the same time. And that sounds as stupid as it is. It is so, so dumb.
I'm so pleased that they've been managed to like cram Battle Royale into everything. This is going to be a real jumping off point now, because with that Battle Royale trend sweeping first-person shooters, it's going to be like, where else can we put this? Now they've done it to Tetris.
Yep.
The gloves are off, and it's going to be in every single ridiculous genre is going to be Battle Royale now.
Yeah.
So how does that work?
So basically, you're playing Tetris, and then 98 other people are playing Tetris at the same time as you, and you can sort of see their screens, their grids around the screen, but it's obviously nigh on impossible to keep actual track of what's going on. So mostly you're just focused on your own screen, and then it's kind of like Tetris Versus, which there are versions of before, where if you make lines, then you'll send like garbage lines to your other players.
Every time you clear a line, it effectively pushes that line into someone else's screen.
Yeah, and then they've got... It has like a small gap in it which they can fill and clear and keep themselves alive for. Gotcha. But instead of just doing that against one person, you're doing it against 98 other people. And several people can be targeting you at once, or you can be target... Like, everyone can gang up on one person and just fire all their garbage into that person, and then everyone can gang up on you and that kind of stuff.
Oh, wow, so you actually physically choose...
Yeah, you can choose which player you want to send your garbage to. So you can do that manually by using the left stick and going through, like, cycling through them all. But you've still got blocks coming down on your screen, so you can't really do that.
Yeah.
So instead, you've also got sort of an auto picker, which the right stick has four different options that you can flick between. So there's just random. If you just want to switch between random ones, you just flick left and it goes to a random place. You can choose to target people who are close to getting knocked out, so you can try and get some points for knocking them out.
Mm-hmm.
You can directly target people who are targeting you, so it'll warn you if people are targeting you, and it'll tell you where they're targeting you from, which player is, so you can then like fire back at them if you just want to have a mini battle with them. And then there's one called badges, which I'm not really sure what that is. I think you earn badges just by sticking around long enough or getting like decent scores, and then you can become like a high value target for other people. and target other people who have got badges as well. And it's very rapid. You lose quite quickly, particularly if you are as bad at Tetris as I am. I am truly atrocious. I don't know what I'm doing. And in terms of actual gameplay, it's just classic Tetris. You've played this before in any sort of variation of Tetris. There's nothing new other than the 98 other people playing around you. And when you die, you just start again. That's it. You could jump back in. Very, very, very bare bones at the minute, because it is just one game mode of play against 98 other people. You can look at your stats. You can change some options. You level up, but there's no point to leveling up because you don't actually unlock anything from doing it. You just go, oh, you're level 3 now. It's like, that doesn't mean anything, but thank
prestige.
You.
Does it maybe affect the matchmaking or something?
I don't think so. It didn't, at launch.
Okay.
Because obviously, everyone's just getting into it. It might affect matchmaking later on, I guess. Mm-hmm. But obviously, I'd need to stick around with it a bit longer to play it. I just kind of need to get it out there as quickly as possible. So, but I got to like level 3 or something, and I was still matching against level 1 players. So, yeah.
It sounds stressful.
It is a bit stressful. It's also really, really good fun. Because it's Tetris. And Tetris, they haven't messed with the formula at all. They haven't really done anything new with it. There's a bit of a funky up-tempo remix of the original theme song, and that's about it. And the core game is brilliant because it's Tetris. Like, that game is a classic and will always be good. Having 98 other people on screen at the same time playing against you is weirdly chaotic but tons of fun. It keeps throwing different challenges at you every moment to moment. Play is really exciting and interesting because you've got all these different people coming after you and random bits of garbage coming up, and you've got to sort of work around that whilst also working around your own inability to play Tetris, in my experience. There's not a lot going on at the minute, and I don't know if people are going to stick around to play it anymore. It's very much sort of a curio that you'll download and go, oh, that was interesting, and then you'll probably move on to something else because it's not got any real depth to it.
Right.
Nintendo are going to start doing events on it in the future, but they're going to need to sort of get started on that sharpish, because otherwise people are going to drop off and you're not going to be able to bring them back just by saying, oh, we're going to do a special event, UK versus UK or something like that, I imagine.
Yeah.
They need to start adding stuff to it pretty quickly before people start dropping off.
Is it free?
It is free. It's totally free. That was what I was going to say. There's no in-app purchase or anything like that. It's just a free download. If you've got Switch Online, download it straight away. No ads, nothing like that. It's just a free little game.
Well, people have been jumping up and down on it on Twitter. Like, it may see people tweeting to discover that they are, in fact, rubbish at Tetris when they thought they were quite good. Because the moment you step out online with other people, you go, why am I losing? I thought it was all right.
Yeah.
But I'm under no illusions. I'm sure I'll suffer.
It's clever, it's fun, it's chaotic, and it's free. So you might as well give it a go.
Sweet. That's Tetris 99 if you are searching for it. Speaking of old ideas given new packages, Noah is basically it's Tamagotchis. But ooh. I say that plural, because it's a Tamagotchi sim which gives you access to several Tamagotchis if you want to, which you collect, build up, try and stay alive, play games with, and do a few extra things I don't think happened on the original version. So if you're old enough to remember the first wave of Tamagotchis, which frustratingly I am, then you know it was a little kind of LCD screen and it's a little gigapet. And the idea was that you have to keep it alive by performing certain actions with it or on it or to it. So simple things like making it clean itself with a little shower icon, or making it have some food by giving it some food and buying it, or making it use the toilet and stuff like that. And then if it got ill, you can give it an injection and all this business. And you would keep it in your pocket. And it's one of these games where you have to keep an eye on its progress because it's always ticking down in real time. All the meters are always either filling or emptying, and it needs constant maintenance. And if you just leave it in your pocket for a week, you'll take it out and you will have a dead Tamagotchi. That was the idea. This game is kind of like, I suppose it's like a wrapper that contains a whole bunch of it. So you have a desk, you're presented with a desk as if you're sitting at your own table or something. Mm-hmm. And then there's a Tamagotchi on it. And so you hatch the egg and then you have the Tamagotchi and you start playing games and that. But then the idea is that you can also purchase, with the stars that you earn through successfully completing certain challenges and that, you can purchase more Tamagotchis, more of the little digital things which just appear on the screen, you know, as a digital representation of it. And then suddenly you've got two on your table, and then three. And the idea is you're having to manage this ever-growing collection of Tamagotchis if you want to. Now, the stuff that seems to have been added, and I might be wrong about this, is there are these games that are built into it. So you can go to this village and explore, and part of that village exploration takes you to like a gym where you can do like exercises, which are mini games where you have to like tap the button repeatedly in order to deadlift a weight or something, you know, charge a bar. Or there's one which involves traveling down a maze. So you're just using the left, right and center button to go forward to navigate this maze and make sure you don't touch the walls. And there are also little mini games like a sort of Space Invaders and stuff like that. I don't remember that being on the original Tamagotchis.
No, that doesn't ring a bell or anything.
No, but I didn't own one, so I can't be 100%, but that feels like an extra wrinkle. Your mileage on this will very much depend on how interesting you find Tamagotchis. What they've done well is recreating the look of the LCD screens. This is the thing that I notice as a nerd, is like the little crappy early LCD screens from the 90s, they've recreated the look of them, the colour, and the slight blur in movement when the pixels, you know what I mean? How liquid crystal display and there's that slight lag when the liquid moves around. It's got that in it.
That sounds cool.
It's really good. It's like proper authentic. So I'm like, fair play. Well done. You've taken this very, very seriously. But then you can add all the new wrinkles to it, which is you can change and modify the Tamagotchi case itself. So you can loads of different colors and skins on it. And as I say, when you start collecting more of them, you can buy them and they've all got different shapes and designs. And then the Tamagotchis themselves, you unlock them by getting eggs and you have to wake up the egg, you have to crack it, and then it gives birth. And then once they've fulfilled their potential, you kind of trade them in and sell them on, and then you get more Tamagotchi, so it becomes a bit more like exchange and breedy. I've got three at the moment. I played it for a couple of days. I mean, I don't really care about Tamagotchis, I'll be honest. I was just trying to see if it worked, and it does. To me, they're just a little bit busy work. But I think they've done a good job of recreating the experience, and I think the extra layers on top of it does make it a bit more interesting than it would otherwise be. I believe it's free to play and it's ad supported, so you'll get a bunch of Unity ads popping up every now and then. But beyond that, it's standard sort of free to play little bits and pieces. You can obviously buy more eggs if you want to unlock things quickly, but I don't know. I didn't pay anything. I've already got three Tamagotchis, and that's probably three more than I need. So, Noah, N-O-A, exclamation point is the bizarre name for it. I don't know if that's a reference to something. Not a clue, but that's what it's called, and you can get it right now, I think. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, Knights of the Card Table. I had a quick go on this. This is a card game which is about reordering cards, or more to the point, reordering the order in which you approach them to attack. So you're a little kid on a street. I don't know if you've seen this one, have you?
I think I've seen one screenshot of it. I don't really know what it is.
Good enough. Well, the art style's got that kind of, I don't know, Adventure Time look.
I noticed that very hand-drawn, cartoony type thing.
Yeah. And the way it plays out is you've got your character who's an obnoxious-looking kid in a hoodie and a baseball hat, and you have to fight your way through a line of cards, a procession of cards that comes in from the right-hand side of the screen and moves towards you. Now, the wrinkle here is that rather than just having to attack the first card that's right in front of your nose, and then the next one shuffles forward and attack and attack and attack and attack, you can reorder the cards. Usually there's a maximum of five cards on screen, and so you put your finger on and you can drag them around. And so this is where the tactical angle is, because some of the cards will have enemies. Different types of enemies have different statistics, so some of them might have more health than the others, some of them might have stronger attacks than the others. But also, some of the cards might be health boosts or buffs or something like that. And so depending on what state you're in, you might need, right, I need to take health now, so I'll drag that one first and then hit the health card. And then that gives me enough energy to attack the dude that's in front of me without dying. And then, for example, there might be a chain of cards behind that are all matching. And if you consume three cards in a row that are the same, so you've got three health cards, for example, or three, there's this little glowy green medical thing that I think boosts your attack. If you have three in a row, then that doubles the effectiveness of them all. So there is incentive to you chaining them together. So again, you want to restructure them. So if I chain all these in a row, I will then get a boost, and then I can attack this big boss that was originally right in front of my nose, but I've pushed him to the back of the pack now.
Okay.
It's okay. haven't played enough of it to give it, you know, proper judgment. I've played about 20 minutes of it, which probably isn't enough, really. Not in love with the art style. I'm not bowled over by the rest of it. Maybe it gets more interesting later. It's trying to do its tongue-in-cheek style narrative thing, where it's being all jokey in the tutorials and that. And yeah, it's all right. Fine. It's currently number 6 in new card games, apparently. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know how big the card game genre is. Pretty big on the App Store. I'm sure that's probably good. But it's £4.99 or $4.99. So it's a big old premium thing. Well, we're definitely doing a review of this one. So Harry will have played it more than I would by that point. So we can give you a proper verdict a little bit later in the week. Probably out now, actually, as you're listening to this. Anything else that was good? Did you play anything else on Switch?
I haven't played anything else, but there was one game that was launched this week. I think it came out today. I don't know when this podcast is going up, but it
Friday. Comes,
Friday. Okay, it came out yesterday.
Nice.
It's a visual novel called Cinders, which was originally on PC.
Yeah.
And it's a retelling of Cinderella, but with sort of a darker twist to everything.
As if three sisters abusing some poor wench wasn't dark enough.
Yeah. Well, it's still got all that. But now you control Cinderella and you can make sort of narrative choices, full-on visual novel kind of thing. So you're not really doing any action or anything. You're just making decisions and progressing the story in that sort of way. And you choose who you're going to talk to, which locations you go to, and all this sort of thing. You've got a limited amount of time per day to choose different things. It's not like a life sim type thing. It's just, oh, at this point, I have to either go to the forest or go to town. I'll go to the forest and I'll get yelled at for being late to town or that kind of thing. So it's all sorts of trade-offs like that. But it's got this really lovely art style, very dark. I want to say gothic, but it isn't. I played through this on PC last year, and I think at the end of mine, I had my stepmother arrested and took over her estate, rejected the prince from marriage, and became this lonely old widow. Not widow. Lonely old lady living in her big mansion with tons of money, who had befriended the evil stepsisters.
Is that considered a win?
I think so. It felt like a win to me. So yeah, that was pretty cool. So I haven't played it on Switch yet. I have got it. I am going to review it at some point. But from my experience, it's a really interesting game, and I don't think it's too costly on Switch. I don't know how much it is.
Okay.
But I would highly recommend, if you are a fan of visual novels and you're looking for something interesting to play, give it a go.
Gotcha. All right, then. Well, the last thing I've had a go on this week is Jaws.io, which I originally thought would be like a non-official kind of ripoff of the IO consume everything formula. But lo and behold, I boot it up and it's actually sponsored by Universal. It's actual Jaws.
Yep.
And it is the same standard formula of IO games, which is you start out as a creature and then you're trying to get bigger by munching all the other creatures, consistently getting bigger and bigger. In this one, you start off on a boat and you're trying to catch Jaws the shark, because that's what he's called, we all know from Peep Show. And once you catch Jaws, you become Jaws. So you munch him and you get basically the Jaws upgrade, and suddenly you're Jaws, and then you're munching everybody else on the field. But I think, as far as I can tell, there's only one Jaws at any one time. So everyone else is running away from Jaws, and then it becomes like a game of It, almost. So if you then manage to shoot and kill Jaws, you become Jaws. And then when the people shoot and kill you, whoever executed you, they become Jaws and start chasing the rest of you. So that's the idea of it. So it's kind of like a game of tag. It's all right.
It sounds like garbage.
Well, I mean, it looks okay. It's got way too many adverts on it. And the chasing around, the bit where you become Jaws and suddenly start munching everybody, that's quite a nice little, power trip. You're like, hey, limited shelf life for me. Not something I'm going to be coming back to again and again. But I was just surprised that it was a real official movie tie-in. I thought it was going to be like, some...
Yeah, I saw the press release for that and I was like, really? Jaws? Mm. You're going back to that well?
Apparently.
It's like the Groundhog Day sequel that's coming out on VR. Like, what is everyone doing?
Yeah, that's
interesting.
What are
people thinking?
Well, I don't know. Apparently that time loop stuff is still working for everybody. Like, at the time, that was a really novel thing, Groundhog Day. The idea of being stuck in a moment, stuck in a day, reliving over and over and over again, and it being like a microcosm of the human experience, and you get to see how someone changes over that period. Because you go through basically like all, I think, 7 or 8 steps of grief over the course of it. There's that kind of surprise, and then there's anger, and then there's denial, and you go through all of it and then comes out a changed person. But then you had like the, not Day After Tomorrow, what's it called? The Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
which did the same thing. Quite good, that. Then just recently on Netflix, you popped up with a Russian Doll.
Oh, is that what that is?
And that's what that is. That's the same thing as well. It's the lassie from Orange is the New Black, one of them, being stuck in a same day. Dies and gets ported back to the same bathroom every time. So apparently, it's now just a genre.
There's also Happy Death Day, if we're just going to stick with this.
Which has got a sequel. yeah. I saw the first one, which was... But yeah, apparently that's a total thing. So yeah, I'm not surprised they're banging out the Groundhog Day sequel, because it's almost like this become a genre now.
Yeah.
And so the daddy of the genre is going, hang on a minute, I think I should have a piece of this. And so remind everybody that we came up with this idea, actually. Thank you. I'll be interested to see what that looks like now. Now I'm in VR mode. Anyway.
But Jaws.io.
Jaws.io.
No.
Yeah. But that'll do. That'll do for now. Thank you all for listening. As always, come back and join us next week for more mobile and Switch-based news and chatter. We love you lots. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.